CliffCentral.com. We have the talented and brilliant Nina Hasty in the studio this morning. We have Buck Ubuntu. You've got me and we got you. And that's all that we need. We've got lots of things that we want to talk about this morning. Can I go through some of the comments for you?
Yes,
okay.
You can.
You'll need the microphone.
Yes, you can. I'm just trying to look for the YouTube link so that I can send
What's
people
What's this
here.
For?
My Insta stories.
Are you trying to get them to join in?
To okay. join in, yeah.
All right, so does Nina have OnlyFans asking for a friend? I remember you said once that you were thinking very seriously about a foot one.
I have such beautiful feet.
Yeah, and people keep asking yes. you for feet pictures, so, these creeps.
Yeah, yeah. So I sort of went down the wormhole a bit. And so there's a website called Feet Finder.
Yeah.
Or Foot Finder. Is it Foot Finder or Feet Finder?
Foot Finder?
Foot Finder. And I did a little bit of research. And then apparently Demi Lovato's sister... Was it Demi Lovato's sister? She's the one. No, she went down the BTS wormhole, but she could have gone down the. Anyway,
no, Demi Lovato had a sister.
Yeah. So, anyway, apparently somebody like one of these like big celebrities' sisters went down this thing, and actually the Foot Finder thing, you have to post more than just feet for you to get traction. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, exactly. And I'm not trying. I don't need it that badly that I need to be showing you.
So I know a girl who's. She like dresses up and does the and these guys send her money and costumes.
Like cosplay vibes.
Yeah. And
like Amber Heard and Elon Musk.
So she gets like a costume from Amazon or whatever that this guy's ordered her, and she gets $1,000. And then all he wants is for her to dress up and like say his name in the costume or whatever. It's what I'm blown away by is not the fact that there's some guy dumb enough to part with $1,000 and he's got such a weird thing going on.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm impressed as hell with her because I think, sure, why the hell not? If you can make some dumbass on the other side of the world feel special for a second by dressing up in whatever dumb
outfit. I'm pro. I love it.
I'm like, go for it.
Yeah.
First of all, he's happy. Second of all, she's happy. Mm. No one's being hurt. There isn't any
ding, ding, ding. You've come to the thing. No one's being hurt.
There's no manipulation of anybody by any. It's totally honest, transactional thing. It's not going to lead to love or personal happiness. And I don't know, that guy might be the creepiest guy in the world. Probably is. Because let's face it, if he's doing this to someone in a faraway country, everyone in his neighborhood must have him on a list.
No, you'll find, you know, this duality that we speak of. He's probably like very serious businessman and everybody takes him very seriously and he needs to get his creativity out in a safe way
possible.
He's
like the head of an insurance
company. Correct. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like I'm thinking CEO vibes. I'm thinking,
I was picturing a tall blonde man who runs Cliff Central, but hey,
I would not pay someone to dress up in an outfit.
I would definitely let someone pay me.
I don't have to.
I would let someone pay me to dress up in an outfit.
But you don't have to. You could you could tell a guy to wear a strap on around the other side and he would.
You think so?
I think you could.
I think I've got zero game. I'm so out of it.
I'm
so out of the loop. I don't really know how to do this stuff anymore. I don't really go out much. I've also got quite a lot of social anxiety post-COVID. I've sort of I never really leave the house. Yeah, I think what happened is I got old simultaneously. And the potholes, guys, I am a middle-aged white woman now. It happened overnight. I can't cope with going out late at night.
I think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's paranoia. I also don't think it's necessarily just as a result of like the hermit stuff that all of us felt after COVID. Cause I mean, really, who wants to go out and do things late at night? The way I think about how I used to drive around.
Jeez.
In the 2000s, to the most dangerous places. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I used to drive drunk. Stupid as could be, right?
Dude, like completely.
I think about it now, I get like goosebumps.
How did we survive? I have no idea. And also now it's like doing stand-up. Like it requires me to do that. And that's why I'm not doing as much stand-up. Like from a logistics perspective,
as a woman though, you don't want to be, as a woman on your own, even if you're not drinking, you don't want to be driving around late on your own in your own car.
No.
As you say, I mean, it sounds really ridiculous, but potholes, traffic lights that don't work, dark streets
because
the street lights are out, you know, bajajas everywhere.
Avoid exactly.
Those things like the plague.
Dude, it's
scary.
It is scary. So I'd rather not, I just rather not. I'd rather make my stupid videos on the internet.
Well, you are one of the only people, and I haven't really referred to this very, very much during the show, but it's a big deal. Like during that whole COVID thing, who learned some lessons about how to make comedy work online.
Yeah.
A lot of guys and girls who are very talented, don't get me wrong. I know you and I both are friends with a lot of these comedians, very clever, very talented people, but they just haven't been able to make the internet work for them.
Yeah.
Why do you think you've got it right? Because you have. You have. You figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out. And I was thinking about the other day. So I've been going through a bit of like, you know, like low self-esteem. But because I just like psychologically just didn't want to be looked at for a bit. But I think it was just like a very short phase. But I think courage is a funny thing, right? So courage is like, I think because there were so many like hurdles in the way to me becoming a comedian. It was hard for me. People thought it was easy, but it was very hard. So anything that I've actually achieved within the entertainment space was very difficult. Whereas, I mean, things for me in life are generally quite easy because I'm quite bright, but I enjoy how difficult comedy is. I need a challenge. Something's got to be stimulating. So I enjoyed the challenge of
comedy's one of the most difficult things.
Yeah. And by the way,
in the world.
I think I'm finally getting there. I don't think I've been a very good comedian until this day.
Why do you think it worked so well online? Because you had time to figure it out quietly on your own?
Because I studied film.
Okay.
Because I know how to edit, because okay. I know time. Timing is the so like sound design was my best subject at film school. Yes, I write, and so I write television. What people don't realize is it's just little movies. You're making little movies.
Technical expertise,
yeah,
is a very important part,
yeah,
of this.
Yeah,
if you don't know what you're doing with lighting and cameras and editing and sound. Then it's an unpleasant experience.
The sound
for the,
has
for the
to
viewer.
Be good. You have to have like an opening. You have to have an arc. You have to have a closing.
Right.
And also, what made it better for me is because with my severe ADHD on stage, I often don't finish jokes because I go off on a tangent, and then I forget where I started. And what these allowed me to do is actually they're better than my stand up because I get to like watch it and go, oh, okay, gosh, here's the end of my joke.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, I do think you've cracked it though. So here are a couple of things. Nina has a lot of frustration, says Ricky.
Yes.
The lack of sex is taking a toll.
That's correct. that is correct, yeah. I have no arguments. I can't even come back to you on anything. That's exactly correct.
You mentioned robots.
Yes.
Earlier. So someone says you moved from blacks to Asians to robots. But do you think we'll ever get to a stage, and this is something that really scares me, where you'll have these people who now are paying for someone to put on an outfit on OnlyFans, for example.
Yeah.
But they'll just go to robots and that'll be the last we hear of them.
I saw a TikTok the other day or an Instagram reel that went, this chick said, are you? No, man. Put the, okay, so hold on
just
a second.
Go on,
please, for fuck's sake, can talk you put the YouTube link so that people can watch this YouTube link that you didn't do in the first place? Use your brain. What is the YouTube?
Imagine being in a relationship with her.
What is the YouTube thing?
No wonder you're frustrated.
Yeah.
Okay, but you were saying you saw this thing on TikTok?
This chick said, and it was it's something that only women could understand. So if the woman tuned in this morning, she goes, are you a zzz girl or are you a zzz?
The vibrator.
Exactly.
So why is that important? And are they completely different kinds of girls? Like, would you be able to pick one out on
Nobody
the street?
Nobody is a zh, 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 zh,
Nobody is.
That machine was invented by a man, right? Because that was definitely, we don't like that setting. That's not our setting. Oh, okay. So we either go zh, 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 zh. That's it.
But not the zh, zh,
yeah, no, because now you're interrupting the thing. Just like if someone isn't getting your rhythm right, and then you have to start from the beginning, it's extremely frustrating. So I think we're already playing with the robots is what I'm saying.
And I think, frankly, if there's going to be a robot that will keep some incel creep in the basement,
yes,
that's probably good news for women who would otherwise be unsafe around him.
Yes, sure. Sure. I'd rather keep a robot in the. Sure. I think.
And if it satisfies his creepy, weird desires, then let him have it.
There's a show called Mask Girl, which recently came out on Netflix, and it's terrifying. So basically, there's this girl. It's a K drama, so it's a Korean. It's very dark and twisted. Essentially, this
woman. Are they worse than the Scandinavians?
Much.
Really.
Yeah. So this show, essentially, this chick is a streamer. So she's not beautiful. So she wears a mask. So she's a streamer. Then there's a guy at work who's this incel who's like basically like obsessed with her, sends money for her to like, you know, do things, but they don't do. There's also a lot of where they blur the bits out. So you're like not allowed to show.
It's like implied nudity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So. Anyway, long story short, he meets her. There's murder, and there's like it's like you know bodies, and but it's very very hectic. You know, result of all of this stuff.
They always say never meet your heroes,
exactly,
because you'll be disappointed. But also never meet your stalkers. I think that's even more important,
that's
right?
So funny, I have crazy stalkers, and you know my stalkers are mostly all women.
Seriously, what do they want?
I would never say that.
Yeah, my stalkers are mostly women, and like what they'll do is, I mean, there's two women in particular that I've been like blocking for years, and they just create new accounts and often have like me as their whole wallpaper and stuff. And sometimes I'll go to a show and like there'll be a woman waiting in the parking lot like that had wanted to meet me or, you know, so sometimes I do like I'll post something after I've been to a place or whatever.
Have you ever wanted security around? Do you ever ask for security when you go to these things? It wouldn't be weird if you did.
No, I know a lot of the other, like, you know, some of the other like South African celebrities, I often see them with security and stuff, and I don't behave like a celebrity. Even my friends are like,
I wouldn't judge you if it's about being safe.
Sometimes I forget. So I was at a Cubana about 3 years ago, totally forgot. I just went to the bathroom and these three chicks like try to beat me up in the bathroom, like, who do I think I am, etc. Like, yeah, so like someone saw that these girls were trying to beat me up for no reason, and you also don't want to cause a scene because then you're going to be in the papers,
and it's always going to be about like Nina Hasty, about three random chicks.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and I mean I could have taken them out. I am a black belt, I am, you know, but then if once I switch that thing, I would have put them all in hospital.
It's going to look terrible.
Like
way.
Nina Hasty in racial battle at, you know what? Think about it. Just black think belt about word. It. Karate.
Karate,
yes.
Nina Hasty, black belts, three blacks.
Yeah, exactly. Do you see how it goes? It just doesn't end well for me or them.
No, but that's not nice. I mean, you go and do a... Even if it's just a social visit, you're meeting up with friends, you don't expect that stuff to happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think ill of you if you had security occasionally.
You've been
on TV a long time. Never underestimate that there's some wacky people are watching.
There are some wacky people and like a lot of strange behavior because people don't have lives a lot of the time. So it's very interesting. But anyway, nonetheless.
Do you think women, if they're stalkers, are scarier than men? Objectively, like let's say you were a gender neutral alien who visited planet Earth, would you rather have a male or female stalker?
I'd rather have a male stalker. They're easier to understand. Women are very complex.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
I was gonna say like you kind of
agree more.
You kind of know what a man wants from you.
Yeah,
but what
and man. You also know their vulnerabilities better.
Oh, so you just kick them in the balls.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, yeah, and I think that their mental vulnerabilities, like it's kind of easy to throw a man off as opposed to a woman, and also the obsession is so much deeper with women. I mean, there's that bunny boiler Glenn Close kind of vibe, which is a stereotype. But if you look at how girls on social media bully other girls, as opposed to the way guys will bully each other or a girl, it's totally different.
Absolutely. The thing is, I mean, if you go into the true psychology behind all of this stuff, and this is something that I want to say to women and to people that are like I think women that are listening, right? So I cannot believe that I'm still trying to post this. Is this going to be posted later? Can people watch this later?
Yes. Do you want to just you figure that out?
Yes.
I want to just get into one or two quick things here on the headlines. So Nina's got to figure out a YouTube, all right? So here's something interesting for you. I mean, we were talking about Cape Town and how shitty their weather is at the moment. So They had heavy downpours in the Western Cape. I actually saw Gord posted a video
about the window
of this window that flew off a 8-story building into the fence of one of the restaurants there, and it like completely destroyed the fence.
Really?
And destroyed the building.
Can you imagine being on the ground and a window from the 8th floor, but a big window, like one of those sliding door size windows, comes flying down? I mean, that can kill you.
That can kill you.
Right?
I was in Roodepoort once recently, and there was, I was like,
That can kill you.
Exactly. I was in Roodepoort and I was like, wow, there's so many beautiful trees here. The houses are beautiful. And I was like, actually, I did a video on this. I was like, wow, why don't I live in Roodepoort? It's gorgeous. And then I saw a man walking down the street holding a windscreen. And I was like, oh, that's what happens here. That's why I don't live in Roodepoort. He's just walking down the street with a fucking windscreen
in his
hand.
He took it off
a
car, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was just parked.
I was just, yeah.
Someone was having tea with their gran.
Exactly. And here's this guy.
Come out without a windscreen.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you drive without a windscreen when someone has jacked your windscreen?
Well, again, Roodepoort, they drive. They find a way.
Well, maybe he was just driving and this was his defense against the suburb itself.
Oh, man. So I didn't have power. This is not a load shedding thing. From what was it, Sunday morning, somewhere around 10-11 o'clock, for some reason power's just been out until this morning. So I was like getting dressed in the dark.
Me
and
too.
Stuff. We get so used to this now, and we shouldn't be tolerating this shit. Mm. Who was it? It was Eugene Causa posted this thing, and I was like, you know, he's so right. He said it's so easy to distract us with sport and entertainment and Nandi and Tabor Besta and stupid shit like that, that we forget to pay attention to the serious things. And it just becomes part of our lives. Like, okay, I'll just get dressed in the dark this morning because that's what civilized creatures in the year 2023 should be doing. Like we're in the 1800s.
Or North Korea.
Precisely. Mm. We shouldn't be putting up with this. Mm. And we do. We just get used to it. Like you see people like, oh, I have to go to the garage and buy some water so I can brush my teeth this morning.
I was so depressed when I got back from Korea, from South Korea. I was so depressed because I came, I landed, it was stage 6. And I was like, here I'm coming from the first world. Like when I say first world, like Gareth, there's some restaurants that don't even have people in. There's just like a little robot that comes and fetches your food. And, you know, like at the hotel, you'll order water and a robot comes up to the door, drops off the water and then goes back.
And I have like streets that will tell a blind person
exactly
to take one step back.
Exactly. Or so you're at the robot, you're on your phone and it counts down the sound, beep, beep, beep. It can go. And then the light lights up at your feet to show you that it's red or green. You know what I'm saying? And then I came back here. I was so depressed because also, so there was this big crowd crush. 159 people were crushed in Itaewon in last year, November. And you know that they impeached the Minister of Safety and Security.
And people have to... have to go to jail.
You have to go to jail when you infringe, if you're costing lives. Now, like downtown Johannesburg, right? So all that big fire that went down. Is there a politician that is being held responsible?
No. They all went on TV the next day. They were all standing there waiting for their shot with the camera. The Nyope mayor standing there in the background, Cyril, like, I'm here to care. I'm here because I care.
Somebody needs to be taken. Somebody needs to take responsibility. And those kinds. Exactly. So that's what is happening.
Jail.
They are jailed. Really? Politicians are jailed when they are responsible for the livelihoods.
I remember, I will never forget the story about the guy who was in charge of some toy company. Mm. And they were using lead paint.
Mm. Yeah.
And they found out that some kids had died because they had been licking the cars or whatever that this company made, and there was lead in the paint, and it poisoned some of these kids. The guy committed suicide. Mm. The CEO of that company was like, I have made a terrible mistake on earth. I am not worthy to live anymore. Harakiri.
Mm.
And I was like, what a guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Now, I would just love, like, you'd have to go all the way to suicide.
Mm.
But just like a mea culpa, my fault.
A sense of responsibility.
It would make such a difference if someone just took, and I don't even mind, like in little ways, if people just admit they were wrong. Sometimes that's
just say sorry.
That's the path to healing, right? Like, I would love to see a politician admit that, hey, you know, we really made a terrible mistake with like lockdowns or some of that stuff. I'm sorry. I will do better.
Or I resign from my position because I realize that I actually am not capable of protecting you as the Minister of Safety and Security.
We wouldn't rush at him and like try to kill him. We would be like, wow, he's actually taken responsibility. Go your merry way, sir.
Exactly.
You know, because you've done the right thing. It's just bizarre to me that like there's some countries where accountability and personal responsibility is part of the DNA. And then there's us. We're like, nah.
Yeah, nah. You know, I mean, I watched Jason's interview with you from last week, and you know, the beauty of our third world thinking in first world spaces, and I've been thinking about that a lot. You know, because don't get me wrong, there's still bullshit and there's still corruption and there's still nepotism, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for me, it's the accountability and. You know, but then again, I mean, we could go all the way back to white people, you know, like we haven't taken responsibility. Like, how do we take responsibility? So it's like this never ending cycle of that kind of shit. So where do we start or where do we end or whatever, you know?
How about like if you've done a thing in your own life, which you are responsible for, like that you should, let's start there.
Okay.
Rather than, because if we roll back
if we roll to back
the Roman history, Empire.
The Roman, apartheid, Roman Empire.
I don't know how many Romans are wandering around that I can blame for slavery. If your people, the Slavs, right?
The Slavs,
that slave.
Yes.
You guys were
imprisoned, oppressed by for 400 years.
400, it's like a thousand.
Yeah, because 400 years against just under Ottoman Empire. Yeah.
And before that, the Romans.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
I mean, you guys have had a shit time of it. Now, I don't see you lining up for reparations at the Colosseum, mostly because the people at the Colosseum are dead.
Yes.
And you're not going to get any reparations. And we can't play this game anymore. It's like it's getting tiresome now because there is no one alive today who actually feels pain from what happened 200 years ago. You may have epigenetic pain and all that stuff, and it's worth discussing. It's worth looking at. It's worth taking seriously. It's not worth dismissing out of hand. But what we've got to do is come to a point where, okay, forget about that stuff until in your own life you have to take accountability and respond. Then I'll take you seriously on all the other stuff that comes from your great grandparents. And, you know, I mean, like my pirate great 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 grandfather who was hanged. For being a pirate. He was a fucking pirate. He deserved it. All right. Thank God he bred before they hang him.
You know what we were thinking about the other day? It's like, what accents are pirates supposed to have? Okay. So like, because everyone's like, arr, me matey. It's like, who decided that pirates are cockney? They could have been like, hey. But like, because my friend just kept doing this bad, like Mexican accent. Okay. And then he made the pirates Mexican.
Like, they spent a lot of time in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
For all we know, that could be the song.
I feel like they're getting pirates accents wrong. They could be like,
I blame Johnny Depp. Yeah, I blame him for a lot. So there was something that came up here in the comments that I think we must just talk about quickly. This is bloody amazing. So Richard says he's been living in Gabon for a month. Even with the coup, there hasn't been a single power outage. That's Gabon, okay, which we discussed the other day, has had the same family in charge for like the last
the bongos,
50 or
the
60
bongo clan.
The bongos.
Really?
For 60 the years, the bongos have been in charge of Gabon.
It was like a Manu Chao song.
Right. And despite how comedic this sounds, it is true that they have not had a power outage since the coup happened.
You know, a friend of mine said to me, and this is somebody that's a very progressive advertising, I'm not going to mention a name, but it's a black male, proudly South African, etc. person. And he was like, you know what we need? A dictatorship.
Oh, but you see, now that's a dangerous
and
thing.
And I'm like, wow. Wow.
Once you go down that path, it's a very, very hard to pull it back.
Yeah.
It's really, and what if you get the dictator who's a malevolent narcissistic? And remember those.
Well, what other kinds of dictators do you get?
You get the Marcus Aurelius rarely.
Okay.
But he, you know, he didn't like fight for his position. He was adopted by Antoninus Pius and then he became the next emperor. But the reality is, like, most people who want that kind of power are those.
Yes, you have to have that sort of like driving force. But I think I think we're on the money with the like take responsibility. If your department is you know, performing some sort of atrocity and, you know, people have been hurt, then you need
to. If you as government own the building, find out who was responsible for looking after that building. and fire them.
Well, actually, if you think, so if you want to get into the technicalities of it, so in terms of like safety and security approvals within the inner city, because I do a lot of work with the inner city sort of restructuring. So that you say, for example, you want to buy a building downtown. It's an old corporate building. You want to turn it into a residential building. Mm-hmm. So you're taking out. So a lot of those places had like asbestos ceilings and stuff like that. So now you're renovating this building. You go get the funding. You want to put people in it, and you want to get a documentation that says, okay, this is now signed off from a safety perspective. Mm-hmm. Because those buildings fall into like a lapse of a certain time frame of prior, they were built like sort of pre-apartheid or some other year. There's like a, there's a loophole where they can't actually get those letters.
Can't
of
get sign off?
They can't get sign off.
So I'm there's sorry. Like a, there are medieval castles that people still live in in Europe. This is such nonsense. Like, someone has got to figure out how to make that work. Exactly. Otherwise, demolish the building.
Exactly. So they aren't demolishing the building. There's this little loophole that's happening. So they get other sort of safety. Okay, cool. Are there enough fire exits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of drama with that kind of stuff.
Okay, we're solving the world's problems here this morning. Yeah. So the first problem we're going to solve is, if we were in charge of the city, we would find out who signs off what on those buildings and make sure that they're held accountable. But how about the people who live there and are putting cardboard boxes between spaces? They are attaching 23 things to each plug.
Right.
They are tearing the lights out of the ceiling themselves so they can make them shine in different directions. They are pulling plumbing out of the walls. Mm. I don't know why, because they need to like...
Well, managing those buildings is challenging.
Challenging. Let's talk about the people who are living in them, because they are behaving like monsters in there. That I like, if you have no respect for your environment, why should we give you an environment? You know, it's like in America.
It goes back to self-accountability, I guess.
Correct. So in America, they've got this new policy in places like LA and New York, where for homeless people, they put them in hotels.
Wow.
You cannot believe what's happened in these people are shitting on the floor. They're making fires on the bed. They are like literally destroying the infrastructure inside the room. They're peeling the paneling off the walls.
Is it a mental health drug thing?
It doesn't matter. Like, these people are not homeless. These people are not homeless because they don't have a home. Mm. No matter what you give them, they're going to ruin it. There's something terrible going on here. It's probably just drugs, a lot of drugs. Because, you know, the solution which has been proffered by people for so long is that if we just give these people homes, if we give them a place to live, which is sanitary and decent, and they feel like they've got some dignity, then they will.
Okay. So I'm going to come back to why I'm doing this Otherwise You Will project, which is this mental health project. So, you know, I was speaking to my sponsor after I released that video about this person is on drugs. You can't listen, because my biggest frustration is when this guy is telling all the cars to go left and all the cars to go right. When you have a homeless person directing traffic, you are not insured. Mm-hmm. So if you go straight, and that you're not supposed to be going straight, because you're supposed to treat this like a four-way stop, and an accident occurs, you are liable.
Yeah.
You are not protected from an insurance perspective.
When she was mayor for like a week, the former mayor of Johannesburg under the DA, Paul Palazzi, she came in. She said to us, those guys are a big problem.
Mm. Yes.
She wanted to get rid of them. Of course, they got rid of her.
Right.
Because now we got a homeless guy as mayor. Literally.
He made it in.
A guy from Al-Jamaa. But anyway, you were saying, so you can't like take these people seriously because they don't know what they're doing.
Well, so as a recovering addict and recovering alcoholic, you know, I also have to understand, you know, take it from whence it comes. So if you look at the social ill of the thing, so drug addicts are actually a social issue. So that it also impacts our society. It also impacts our medical thing. We need to be taking care of those people from a drug perspective as a disease.
I agree, but there's a chicken or an egg situation here. So let's get into this, because I know you've thought about it a lot. So I'm not going to suddenly throw a curveball.
Sure.
But is it more likely that someone takes to drugs because their life is going badly, or that they take to drugs and then their life starts going bad.
I think what's happening
on a balance of probabilities.
On a balance of probabilities, what's happening is people are unable to distinguish and identify mental health issues and they're self-soothing, particularly in a country that is traumatized.
Okay. So I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment.
So we don't have access to information and we don't
social
have
workers.
Exactly. And so, but at therapy. The baseline, the fucking baseline of mental health is there is no metric. So people don't, so my question is, how do you know how you are if you don't know who you are? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my proposal or proposition is that what if self-awareness is the metric of mental health? So if you go down a journey of self-discovery as opposed to a journey of anything else, maybe that'll be your starting point for mental wellness. So that you can go, how do you know to make adjustment? How do you know, okay, I need a drink or I need a sleep or I need to exercise or whatever. If you don't know who you are in the first place, if you don't know my baseline is actually supposed to be quite energetic or my baseline is supposed to be actually quite reserved. And when I'm reserved, that's actually my normal state. And when I'm not reserved, I shouldn't be in an enclosed space with lots of people because actually that sets me off. I know that seems quite highbrow.
But at the extreme end,
yes.
We've got like a lot of people who just they take the drugs because they've got no other
they
thing
are
to do.
Desperate. And they are desperate.
Yeah, there's no purpose. There's no like meaning to life. It's just like, let me just escape this for a moment.
Absolutely.
With a high, right?
So I think that people are looking for, they're trying to soothe, they're trying to solve their mental health issues and they don't know where to start. And because alcohol is so easy, because it's in our culture, because we don't have a culture of going to the theater and we don't have a culture of,
yeah,
you
but
know,
in America, they have,
things.
You could argue they even have a worse homeless problem.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, we're talking about places, the supposed arts capital of the world, LA, where everyone's an actor.
Fair, even the homeless
people are like, I'm just doing this until I can get my first starring role. And they can't figure out this problem because they're treating the symptoms instead of the disease. Now, you're saying the disease is a mental health crisis.
Absolutely.
So why is it that this has only come about now? Because there used to be a mental health crisis of the same proportion if all things are equal back in the 70s and 80s. But what we had was institutions that the mentally ill were in.
Well, we still have institutions like that. I just think that the accessibility to drugs and alcohol and the social acceptance of that kind of thing is much higher.
I don't know. Hey, I mean, they tried to ban alcohol during the lockdown and people started making their own.
Yes.
Now, I agree with the premise that we need to know our baseline, but how do you know a base? How, like, and also self-medicating, the nation is self-medicating with alcohol and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
There is a boredom case. But how do you take, let's say, the opioid crisis in America?
Mm.
These are normal, like what we're talking about, like what Gareth mentioned. These are normal functioning people who just don't have...
Bored housewives.
Yeah, bored housewives who just take Percocet or whatever like the latest drug is, whatever opioid is, right? And then they become these trash human beings that live in their own shit and all that. This is a different problem, America and South Africa. In South Africa, we are self-medicating. I agree with that. But there's something lost in there where you say they're all mentally ill. No, they're not mentally ill.
I think some of them just make terrible choices.
Yes, I think accountability
we
that we can't just say mental illness because that becomes a blanket. And then
I'm going to say something now that's going to really...
Okay, no.
Go on, say it.
Okay, so I... this is going to trigger people. So I found particularly, so the 12-step programs, right? Your AAs, NAs, whatever. A lot of those programs are focused on a 12-step process of enlightenment, you know? So a lot of it is a spiritual enlightenment with whatever deity or divine thing you decide to go on, but something greater than yourself.
Right.
Something outside of the ego. So that can even be from a science perspective. Even if you're not spiritual, you go, okay, cool. Then how can something outside of myself and serving my own ego relieve me of this malady? Mm-hmm. Of emptiness, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what everyone's experiencing, the spiritual malady, whatever it is that's making me have to now go and soothe somewhere else. when you have like what I call pre-existing Christians, pre-existing Christians that come into the program have this concept of like, and please, with all due respect, I do recognize Christianity and et cetera, but I just feel like a lot of people use it as a scapegoat. Well, I will be forgiven for my sins and my behavior. Now, a big part of those 12 steps is taking accountability. So going, okay, cool, this is my scenario. And then when I'm busy like learning the skill set to like survive in society, I need to go, okay, cool, I did this thing and it impacted this person and it fucked their shit up. So I need to now go and make amends with that person and take responsibility. Mm. Unless we're taking responsibility is going to hurt someone even further. Listen, I'm so sorry I slept with your husband 5 years ago. And they're like, what? I didn't know. And now you've like caused. Yeah. So you take responsibility where it doesn't hurt someone else, right? So a lot of people have thought, okay, well, I can just carry on behaving like this because I'm going to be forgiven.
It's like you pre-approved for forgiveness.
Yeah, exactly. Which is bullshit. Is absolute bullshit. So don't come here. You have to take accountability. I think what we're getting to, we're at the root of all of this, accountability of our politicians, accountability of the behavior of the people, there needs to be an accountability. And I think, without sort of leaning too heavily on the policing, but I think that there needs to be a better system of accountability across all behavior in South Africa. I think that would change a lot.
And I do think like a part of that is also what Bakabantu just said. It's like differentiating between the people who are truly mentally ill and who have no ability to be personally accountable because you rightly put it, they have no self-awareness. Mm. And the ones who just keep making terrible, terrible decisions over and over again.
Mm.
And I think there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a
difference. You could become mentally addled because you've done so many drugs.
100%.
But that might have been you putting yourself in that place.
So the only person that can withdraw you from that systemic behavior constantly is you.
Right.
You have to pull yourself out of that, even if it's like a toxic codependency or, you know, a situation where you're constantly in this relationship with someone where you argue, even though that person always argues with you, it's still your responsibility to withdraw that behavior, to withdraw that kind of trigger, to withdraw that pattern. The pattern can only be broken with you. I lost my shit yesterday. I was thinking about it. I was actually up till quite late last night thinking about it. I went to the garage. I wanted to buy something. And someone sort of like rushed up to me and said, sorry, ma'am, can you just give me some money? And I first of all, I got a fright because he ran up to me. And I was in my pajamas. You know, there were a whole bunch of other people. I'm the only artist. I can tell how wealthy all these people are. There's people in sports cars left, right, and center. And I'm like, I wanted to be like, why are you asking me? Ask those people. And then I just said to him, he's like, can I ask you for help? And I said, no, you can't.
Good.
And I said, no, you can't ask me.
Good.
Yeah.
Because you have to create boundaries for people.
Exactly.
And this happened to somebody I know just the other day. She was driving into a gate somewhere of like a shopping center or whatever. And the guy at the gate said to her, please, he gave her 20 rand and said, get me a bread. There's a reason he can't get in there.
Yes,
himself,
right? Yes, sure.
And she said yes. And I said to her, no, you must never say yes to them.
Yeah.
It is not your responsibility to take on everyone else's pain and suffering and solve all the world's problems. You can only do so much. And we all want to do good things, right? Mm. We all want to help where we can. But man, there's a lot of need out there. And if you spend every waking moment trying to take care of other people's needs, your cup will be so empty that you will eventually need all the help from everybody else and they're going to give it to you.
Find a better way to contribute to society.
So did this guy leave you alone?
He did, but then he was like a real bitch about it. So then he like landed up getting like a bread and a milk and like minced past me and was like, you know, I've already sorted myself out. Yeah, well done.
So you had the money anyway.
Well, no. Someone else gave it to him, but he just wanted to like, you know, like, bro, I'm like, bro.
That was probably his most important interaction of the day and it had to be you.
Yeah. Look, either which way, I went through this whole thing. I was like, this person's probably on drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, as a recovering addict, I went through the whole guilt riddled thing. And then at the end of the day, I realized I've asked people for things. And they also had the right to say no. So
absolutely.
I'm also allowed to say no.
And are you feeling okay about it? I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. I think you and I can joke around a lot, but are you okay with that kind of thing now? Have you moved on?
I just think the way that I said it, because I got a fright,
yeah.
I snapped at him, and perhaps for him to have to put himself in that position to ask might have been a very vulnerable and scary thing for him to have to ask. But and the way that I treated him maybe embarrassed him. So that's the only thing I would have been.
But how he brought on this interaction.
He just ran up to me. I just got a fucking fright, man.
You didn't go up to him in the street, poke him with a stick and say, I'm not going to give you any money.
Yeah.
I just got a fright, bro. So Alan says, and I think he's kidding, but he says, oh, you're also terribly classist. What do you think, Buckabunty? You think we're in classist?
I don't think we're classist. I don't think what Nina is saying is also classist. Like, people... It all goes back to like knowing thyself, right? You kind of brought this up earlier before. Yeah. Once you know yourself and then you can build from there, there's a lot of people who fill in these vacuums with drugs, with anything, basically, with even binge watching something. People need a purpose.
So I've, okay, so just to speak to Alan, I've been homeless before, Alan. This is something that you're talking about classism. I've been homeless. Right? I've lost everything. I've slept on the floor of a drug den in Bromfontein and was being beaten to shit by a drug dealer. I know what it's like to be in this position. So when I'm speaking from this position is why I was so torn and why I felt bad for speaking to that person in that way. But I never, the second I started taking responsibility for my behavior, so I couldn't afford therapy. I knew that I had mental health issues. I knew that I was using drugs and alcohol to try and make me feel better and to self-soothe and, you know, didn't have medical aid and my tooth was sore and I couldn't get an extraction. And so you just put whatever alcohol you can put in your... I have been here, so don't fucking tell me I'm a classist.
But can I trigger a bunch of people too? Because this is something that comes up a lot and I've got into trouble for this before, so I'm ready to go there again. Experiencing something obviously gives you insights that the people who haven't experienced it haven't necessarily got. But that does not mean that people who have not experienced that are not allowed an opinion on it. So I am allowed to have an opinion about someone who is above or beneath me on the social pecking order. I'm allowed to have an opinion about drug dealers or drug users, even if I'm not one myself. You're allowed to have this. We've got this crazy, ridiculous, and stupid idea in our heads that you can only express an opinion about something if you have personal experience of it, which is nonsense.
Yeah.
You don't have to have jumped out of a plane without a parachute to know that it's going to end badly.
Yeah, 100%.
So I actually think while I am fully appreciative of the fact that you speak with a lived experience and you've gone through some stuff, I don't really give a shit what Alan thinks.
Yeah. I don't know why, whereas you do. I'm getting pissed off because
I think maybe people have they attach their identity to these experiences because for many people, pain gives them a feeling of like belonging.
Yeah.
Right? And suffering is such a common theme, especially in a country like this, that we tend to think that by claiming our piece of the suffering pie, we are validated as humans, that you have value, that you know, that everyone will now people will take you seriously because you have had no money and you've struggled and you've suffered. And I'm sympathetic to that point of view because I see where it's coming from, but I do not believe that it invalidates the opinion of those people who have not been through those things.
Sure.
And it doesn't make them more objective necessarily either.
Right. I mean, I think there's two overarching things here. One, well, actually, there's three things. One, there need to be better looking men in porn. okay, that's number one. Let's just get our priorities straight, right? They need to be better looking men in general. Two.
Yeah, you guys should get yourselves in shape. Yeah,
get yourselves in shape. I mean, Gareth, how old are you?
46 now.
39 vitality age.
You look 39 and my vitality.
But really? Yes, okay, baby. Fantastic. I love that. Yeah. Gareth, thank you. Thank you for respecting us enough to take care of your health and your looks.
Do you know why?
Why?
I can't afford to get fat.
Why?
Because I've said so many horrible things about the fat people. If they that's find funny. Out that I'm like, my BMI is why we had to do the test on air the other day. So they knew I couldn't make it up. Discovery came in and did the whole thing with me. If the fat people, because they've huddled usually around
both
some,
of them
around like a pig with an apple in its snout, so, but they've huddled and they've gone, that guy, if he gets fat, we're gonna eat him. So I have to be very careful, because they will come after me and they've got knives and forks and pitchforks and burning torches, all the tools they need to bribe me.
Okay.
So
okay.
I have to watch it. It's not because I'm vain or because
I've put on a few kilos in this winter, but don't worry.
A lot of comments here about how fabulous you're looking, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
People are saying that you're looking super sexy.
Oh, that's great. I have no makeup on and I've...
That's why. This is the natural Nina.
Thanks, guys.
She's not going to tart up for us at 5 a.m. What are you, insane?
You.
You think she's going to go and stand in front of the mirror in the dark, try to apply like premiering?
Premiering. What a great word. Anyway, I think at the end of the day, and this happens in comedy and when you're writing anything and when you're writing a story, inform yourself. Have as much information as possible. Inform yourself. Be curious. Be interested. My brand sentence for Nina Hasty, when I created Nina Hasty, the brand, the brand was a curious and interesting South African. That's all I wanted to be, is a curious and interested South African.
Who would not want those things?
Yeah.
Curious? Absolutely. Interested? Goes with curious.
Curious and interesting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're curious, you have lots of things that you know and things you could talk about.
Absolutely.
I get a little bit crazy around people who've substituted character and personality for identity.
Okay, break this down. This happens a lot.
I think we talked about this on the show before.
We always talk about
it. Are you happy to go in there again?
No, just for Nina.
For Nina's benefit.
Yeah, for Nina's benefit.
Okay, so... What I've realized is like a lot of people, and this is not to knock millennials and Gen Z especially, because I think this probably happened with Gen X, except we had goths and weird things that also people absorbed as their identity. What started to happen is that people describe themselves not by adjectives. So you just said curious, interesting. Those are the kinds of things that people say when they are self-aware.
Sure.
Like, I've got a sense of humor. I like rap music. I enjoy swimming or I enjoy, you know, gym or whatever it might be. But you got things that you do, things that you are, things that you're interested in. And then there are those people who only can describe themselves by classifications.
Yes. Oh, I'm an accountant.
So I'm an LGBT activist with pronouns, blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm not just knocking them. It's just an easy target for me to go there. Or I am a proud black woman. And you're like... Yeah. I could see you're a woman. I could see you're black. Those are not things that I needed you to put in words.
Right.
I could divine that just by using my senses.
Right.
Tell me about you. Mm. Because being proud is fine. Mm. I mean, I'm thrilled that you're proud. You should be proud of who you are. And no one should ever be able to take that away from you. Otherwise, there is a moment
maybe
for a therapist
your
to step
morning,
in.
Your morning mantra to yourself.
Sure, but it's not going to help you to get ahead in the world. Mm. When you introduce yourself to other people, it is pointless to say, I am in, my pronouns are they, them, and I am a trans, whatever, handicapped, whatever it is. Because those things.
I have a very controversial opinion on the identity politics thing. I just feel like. It, you know, smoke and mirrors, you know, the distraction of things. Mm. I feel like particularly with the American politics and with identity politics on that level, it's a minority issue, which is important. Yes, people need to be acknowledged, but that has moved into the mainstream. And think of how many people have experienced trans
So do you know what percentage of the American population is female, of color, and trans?
Mm. Yeah, that's my question.
That's the super...
It's a minuscule amount.
So that is the overlap of all the...
Those things.
Disenfranchised groups, exactly. Right? 0.04%.
Exactly. So that now that conversation has moved into the mainstream, but I feel like things that are overarchingly more important, like empathy, like information, like acknowledging people, yes, identity politics falls underneath that umbrella. Absolutely. Respect of other people, finding out information. How do people like being addressed? If you are a Zulu man, I need to acknowledge that I need to let you walk in front of me. That's
feminist. A feminist wouldn't agree with
so,
that.
But in culture, that's what that person has to do.
Then you have to choose. Am I a feminist or am I culturally observant?
So this is what I'm saying. There aren't blanket rules to things. Okay. So if you take the time to learn,
choose, by the way?
I don't like touching doors. So great if you can open the door.
That's if you're avoiding the question, though.
Oh.
What do you choose in that moment where you meet a traditional Zulu man who expects to be...
To walk ahead of me.
Yeah, he expects to condescend to you, essentially.
Speak down to you.
That's how it works. That's a cultural thing. And whether I've explained it properly or not, that's kind of what happens.
Okay.
Or, and I know you're a proper believer in equality.
Equality, yeah, sure.
And you believe that women shouldn't be treated as second-class citizens in any situation. Mm. So which Nina Hasty proverb dictates the behavior?
That's such a good question.
Because it's curious, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I think I'm gonna revert to the school of K-drama on this one. So there's a very interesting thing that happens there. It's all about honorifics. So the way that you address people, and it's an agreement that you come to. So say, for example, I meet you. The baseline has to be polite.
Sure.
So the baseline has to be respectful and polite. So in that society, if this is a So if I'm a minority and in the majority of South Africa, so we live in a democratic country, right? So we live in the democracy, the majority rules. So in the majority are Nguni people.
Because you're explaining it before you've given us your decision. Oh. And in that moment, you have to make a decision.
Oh, so I will. It depends where I am. That's why I'm saying. So see, if I'm in South Africa,
I have to hold your feet to fire on this one.
Caveat. If I am in South Africa, where I have to assimilate into the majority culture, which is what you should be doing and not follow American politics. If you are a white person in South Africa, where the majority culture is Nguni, and that behavior is expected out of respect, and if the baseline is politeness, absolutely let that man walk ahead of you.
Close, our woman's not going to do that.
I know.
We both know that, right, Bakamantu?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's from the Nguni.
Sure.
But I don't know why this is so difficult. You said polite.
Yeah.
Right? So
polite should be the baseline.
The problem is that people have different ideas of polite. So exactly. For the Zulu man, it would be impolite of you to
walk ahead of him.
Well, also to suppose that you are his equal.
Sure. But later, we can't
even decide on the first step, which you said was politeness.
No, let's branch these ideas. What Janini said, overarching theme. Mm-hmm. When in Rome, do as Romans do.
Okay, so if you are in...
in Zululand,
right.
Do as Zulus do. If you're in South Africa, do as South Africans do.
But what is that?
But exactly. So this is the thing that I'm talking about. We go back to Heritage Day.
We don't have like a perfect South African. Yeah, this is good. I like that we've actually gone full circle in Heritage Day. But
No, we do have a perfect South Africa. Most South Africans are very conservative people. There's a very great, what do you call this thing? There's a very great correlation between Afrikaners and Black people. We have the same values. The only thing, we speak different languages. Or maybe this is an Eastern Cape thing. Maybe. But for some reason, we all agree on what we want to happen. And then it's when people come in with American politics, and maybe it is our generation that come in with TikTok and be like, no, Dad, you can't say that.
I think we also, you got to like tone down the sensitivity by like 10. Because that's also something the Americans have taught us. It's not us. South Africans are not actually terribly sensitive about this shit.
No, we're actually not.
We handle stuff. You know, like the guy at the petrol station greets everyone like it's his best friend.
Yeah.
And I've learned that that's fantastic. Because I'd rather have that than some scowling, miserable shit on the underground in London.
Mm, exactly. We're
not sensitive people. So if there's a Zulu man who you can tell is very traditional, I don't mind calling him Babamkulu.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you know, doing the thing, whatever it might be that he expects me as a guy, as a white guy. I don't think about that stuff. But
baba, all the same.
But
thing.
If I meet like an arch feminist, I'm also not going to try to upset her immediately. I don't see the point of like saying to her, yo, woman, hold on, let me go through
this
door. I feel
like politeness is the baseline. Empathy is the baseline. And yeah, I'm trying not to be like, yo, bitch, your titties is hanging to the left or whatever, you know. I think politeness is the baseline to everything. And I totally forgot the other thing. It was so...
That's all right, because we're out of time.
Okay, great. Well, listen, it's...
Listen, how far along have we bounced from... Serbian outfits and men in porn to K-pop to like Heritage Day. I think we covered the gamut.
I think people just need to be a little bit more empathetic and informed. Just take one, instead of like, just take one more step towards learning about other people and you'll be in a better fucking position.
And less sensitive is what I'm going to throw in there. Yes. Because what the hell? I mean, like, you're the only one who's going to go home being upset about this. Which, again, is like the point in your interaction with that dude who was asking you for money.
Yeah.
Like, don't be sensitive. Don't worry about it. Whoever that guy is, he'll be moving on with his life.
Yeah, fine.
He's begging off some other person this morning.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
He didn't hate Nina Hasty.
Yeah. Maybe he did.
No.
Maybe that's led to his demise.
You were just an object in his day. And
you're right.
I often think about this when people want a photograph with me or whatever, that it's not about me at all. I'm an object in their life story. They're going to show someone that picture. Someone's going to say, oh, he's cool or he's an asshole. And I'm not going to know about that interaction.
Yeah, it's
I'm not
none
even
of
there.
Your business.
Yeah. So what other people think of you is none of your business.
Stop being sensitive.
All right. This was lovely, guys. We went all over the show.
It's like one of those children's shows at the end. They go, and today's lesson was...
it was an interesting one. But
I'm so glad you came. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I know they've been trying to book you for ages. In fact, they told me you were meant to come in with Trevor.
Oh, right.
A while ago.
Right. I was supposed to come in with Trevor and then I was supposed to come in with Jason and I was shooting in Cape Town. Now
it's fine. You're busy.
Yeah, booked and busy. It's great.
We laughed a lot with both Trevor and Jason and we've laughed a lot with you.
I was quite serious, but also...
No. This is part of that you are not one thing. You are not one thing. Yeah, I love it. All right, Nina Hasty. You can follow her on her social medias. Here's the handle. Is that the one for the Twitter
or the Instagram? So what is that? So
that Nina Hasty.
That Nina Hasty is on Instagram. I don't really use Twitter anymore, but so don't even bother.
But you're on the TikTok as well.
So I'm on TikTok as Nina. _ Hasty, I think, or Nina.Hasty, but it's a verified account. So if you type Nina Hasty in, I'll be on Instagram.
She's a real one. Are they impersonators?
Yes, God. Ugh. Anyway, but it's fine. It's very strange. So do yourself a favor, follow And Otherwise You Will, which is my other account, which is this mental health thing. I'm actually, so we're launching on the 10th of October, which is World Mental Health Day. And if I get a 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel, I will unlock a competition where you can win an inverter to the value of like $300,000.
That'll help your mental health.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. So I was like, what is the thing that affects people's mental health the most right now? Electricity. So I've managed to lock down an inverter sponsor. So awesome. I will be giving away some prizes. So go follow me and follow the information because you could win something.
Whenever I go onto one of these shopping sites, like Take a Lot or whatever, the first thing that pops up is inverters.
Yeah.
That's probably what
lithium
South Africa.
Iron, boy. Yeah. Lithium iron, my brother.
We all know.
That's what South Africans are buying. It's at the top of everyone's Christmas wish list.
Exactly.
You need to get that UPS, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay, so we got to get you to 1,000 on YouTube.
1,000 on YouTube for the first unlocking. And then if we get to more, I will unlock along the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sounds almost as good as feet pictures.
Well, listen, I'll send you a photo.
Do you want me to send
you?
I'm going to send Gareth photos of my feet.
No, you don't like feet. No, I'm not a feet guy. No.
What? Okay.
That's not my feet.
What's level two? Like,
what's no. Once I get like, I will for every 10,000 followers, I will unlock another inverter to the
then
value
it's a generator.
Of 300,000.
Eventually, she'll get you a whole Eskom power
plug. I will send you Cyril Ramaphosa in your DMs. Madupi station.
Yeah. Get Madupi.
Can you imagine? I could see an ad with you going, "Hi, I'm Nina Hasty, and this is my power station, and it could be yours." love it.
Subscribe now.
All right. And keep doing the amazing work that you're doing to make us laugh on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, because it's fantastic. Thank Nina Hasty, everybody. Cheers. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.